Welcome to the podcast of Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Here you can learn and understand the truths of God's Word so that you may live out those truths. To get a glimpse of what is taking place at our church and to hear more of Mike Frazier, visit our website, cantonbaptist.org. If you have any questions or comments, we would like to hear from you. Please email us at radio@cantonbaptist.org. Now let's join Mike Frazier.
Genesis chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. If I were to title this morning's message, it would be simply titled this, God's restrictions are for our good. How many of you believe that here this morning? If you don't, I hope you'll be convinced of that before you leave this service here today. God's restrictions are for our good. Let me begin this message by saying this. God did not give us His Word to make our lives miserable. Right? God did not give us the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God. God did not give us His Word just to make our lives miserable. Instead, God has given us His Word so that we will know how to live a life that is full of joy. That's why God gave us His Word. Turn, if you will, to John chapter 15. Keep your finger in Genesis 3, but go all the way to the New Testament. I want to read several verses in the book of John. John chapter 15. And verse 11, Jesus says this, These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Now, notice a connection here. Make the mental connection. The connection is between what Jesus said, these things have I what? Spoken unto you. In other words, the word of Christ. And then notice there is a connection between that and his followers having joy, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. There is a connection between the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God and we as followers of God having joy. Now, again, another verse that really emphasizes this concept, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 4, we find this statement, And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. God gave us His Word so that you might be a joyful person. I get back to what I said initially. God did not give us His Word so that you will be a miserable Christian. No. God gave us His Word so that we might have His joy. I would like to make a very clear and concise statement, and it's this. The written Word of God has been given to us so that we can know how to live a life that is full of joy. You will not know how to live the Christian life apart from the Word of God. You say, I don't like reading the Bible. That's a problem. You need to learn to read the Bible. You need to learn to read it with an open heart and an open mind. You need to be willing to embrace the truth of God's Word and to apply that truth to your everyday life. If you want to live a joyful life, then you need to know your Bible. The Bible is important. Now, why are so many Christians not living a life full of joy? Well, go back to John. John chapter 10 and verse 10. The Gospel of John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus says, The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come, notice the difference, the contrast here. I am come that they might have what? Life, and that they might have it more abundantly, so that we might not just hope that one day we will have eternal life, but that we might know that we have eternal life right now and realize that it is an abundant life. It is a superior life. It is a preeminent life that we live when we have Christ in our hearts and in our lives. Who is the thief in John chapter 10 and verse 10? Well, the thief that Christ is referring to is the devil. And one of his main objectives is to steal our joy and to make us ineffective for Christ. One of the ways that he does that, one of the ways that Satan robs us of joy and causes us to be ineffective in our Christian life, is to cause us to think that the restrictions that God has given to us in his word are just God's way of making our life absolutely miserable. This is an old, old lie that goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, right here in the verses that we read together earlier. Look again at Genesis 3 and verse 1. I want to read it again. Now, the serpent was more subtle. He was more deceptive than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Now, notice that the devil starts out by twisting the word of God. That is one of Satan's favorite tricks. He loves to take the word of God and then he subtly bends it and he represents it back to us either in the form of a twisted truth or an outright lie. Notice also that he puts it into the form of a question. Did you notice that there in verse 3? "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Notice that Satan poses a question to Eve. Now, why would he do that? He wanted Eve to think that he really did care about her and that he really had her best interests in mind. If you go back and look at what God really said to Adam, you'll see that Satan misquoted what God had really said. Go back to chapter 2. Look at chapter 2, verse 16. You should be in Genesis chapter 3. Well, go back to Genesis 2, verse 16. And I ask you the question, did Satan quote God exactly? Well, the answer is no, he didn't. He twisted the truth. And this is what God actually said, chapter 2, verse 16. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But," verse 17, "of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." You see, in reality, God began by telling Adam what he was allowed to do, and then he followed that up with just one restriction. The only forbidden tree was the tree of the what? Of the knowledge of good and evil. But here back in Genesis chapter 3, Satan didn't want Eve to focus on what God had allowed her to do, but rather he wanted Eve to focus on what God had not allowed her to do. You see, Satan was able to get Eve's focus off of the goodness of God and the provision of God, and was able to get her to focus on that one restriction, the one restriction that God had put in place, and he was able to convince her that God was really not a good God, and he was just trying to make her life miserable. You can eat of all the trees in the garden except for the one forbidden tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Satan was able to get Eve's focus on that one tree instead of focusing on how good God had been and the provision of God and allowing her to eat of all the other trees in the garden. Satan convinced Eve that God had created her and had placed her in this beautiful garden, and then started telling her what she couldn't do. He was able to get her to doubt the goodness of God and to get her to think that God was just trying to make her life miserable by giving her that one restriction. Do you realize to this very day, Satan uses the same tactic with us? Satan wants us to doubt the goodness of God. Do you realize we have a good God? I'm going to talk more about that in this message. But Satan would love to plant that seed of doubt in your mind, that just maybe God is not as good as we say that he is. You see, Satan doesn't want us to focus on all the things that God has allowed us to do, but rather he wants us to focus on the things that he has told us not to do. But we need to understand that the restrictions that God has given to us are for our good. That's why we need to teach our children when they are young the truth, the principles, the precepts of the Bible, the Word of God. You got to instill that truth into them and help them to understand that God has said there are certain things as his people we are not supposed to do. And we give them the do's and the don'ts based upon the Word of God. And we help them to understand that God gives us those restrictions for our own good. God gives us regulations. God gives us rules. If you want to say, God gives us restrictions for life so that we can truly enjoy life the way God meant for it to be enjoyed. Be content with what you have. So when you're content with what you have, suddenly you're not angry, you're what? You're happy. You're not jealous, you're not thinking about somebody else, you're thinking about what? How good God has been to you. You're not bitter because, well, you know, God's blessed that person with that, and I'm thankful for that, and God's blessed me in different ways, and I'm thankful for that as well. Here's another rule. When we violate God's restrictions, we always lose joy. Always. You say, I don't care about the Bible. I'll live my life however I please. You'll not have a whole lot of joy. You'll think you'll be happy temporarily. Satan always gives you a little temporary happiness, but it doesn't last. And so you need to understand that whenever it comes right down to it, we need to live our lives according to the truth of this book. And if God says do it, we need to do it. If God says don't do it, we don't need to do it. And when we abide by his restrictions, then we have a joy-filled life. Let me ask you a question. When you're consumed with covetousness, are you focusing that moment on how good God has been to you? Probably not. And instead, you're probably believing Satan's lie that God is really not a good God. He's holding out on you. Why do they have a new car and I don't have a new car? Why did he get that promotion and I didn't get that promotion? That's not fair. Thou shalt not covet. When you begin to covet, you suddenly experience toxic feelings that God does not want you to experience. Now, think about all the good things that God has given to you. Just stop just for a moment and think about all the wonderful and good things, the blessings that God has given to you. Don't be like Eve, where you have a whole garden full of trees, and yet all you can see is the one tree that you can't have. I don't know how many trees are in the garden. I really don't. Maybe there were dozens and dozens of them. I don't know. But there were all these other trees, and God had started off by saying, you can eat of all the trees of the garden freely. There's just one tree that you can't eat of. The tree, the knowledge of good and evil. And Eve decided to focus on the one tree that she couldn't have instead of all the trees that God had given to her. All those other trees represented what? The goodness of God. All those other trees represented the provision of God. I read Genesis chapter 3 and I say to myself, Eve, Eve, you've got all the other trees in the garden to eat from. Don't get hung up just on the one tree that you can't have. But that's exactly what she did. And it's exactly what we do. We do the same thing in our lives. We know that the Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Right? How many of you know that? The Bible says that, right? And yet, sad to say, there are husbands who have wonderful wives, and yet they are constantly lusting after another man's wife. God says, I've given you a wonderful wife. God is good, right? God has provided. Many men take their eyes off of what God has given to them, a gift from God, and they get their eyes off on other women and they begin to lust after another man's wife. Then there are wives. Wives who just focus on the negative characteristics of their husband and wish that they were married to a different man. Look, he does that and you don't, and he does this and you don't, and there's that comparison. Focus on what God has given to you. God is good. God has provided for you. I repeat, when you violate God's restrictions, you will lose the joy that God wants you to have. In other words, when you don't heed the word of God, you will not be a happy person. Now, back to our text. At first glance, Eve's response in verse 2 seems right on the money. But if you read it real carefully and you compare it to chapter 2, verse 16, you'll notice that two words are missing. Notice what she says in verse 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Go back to chapter 2 and verse 16. What had God said? God had said, of every tree of the garden, thou mayest freely eat. Now, if you compare those two statements, one, chapter 3, verse 2, the other one here in chapter 2, verse 16, you'll notice that Eve left out two words, every and freely, right? Those two words were left out. By doing that, you can see that she was minimizing in her mind God's goodness, God's provision, and instead she was focusing on what she couldn't have instead of what all God had already given to her. Her focus was in the wrong place. And by the way, many of you no doubt are here today and your focus is in the wrong place. By the way, that word freely is an interesting word to study in the Bible. Almost always, the word freely in the Bible denotes God's grace. We not only have a good God, but we have a gracious God. Two verses. Romans 3, verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Do you realize that none of us deserve to be saved? It is only by God's grace, through faith in Christ and Christ alone, plus nothing and minus nothing. God has been so good to us. He provided a way for us to be saved. Wow. You see that word freely connected with God's grace and God's goodness. But now let's move on to the Christian life. Romans 8, verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, that's salvation, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God is going to give you what you need. He may not always give you what you want, because sometimes our flesh does not always want the right things. But he will give us what we need. And it'll be freely. By his grace, he will meet all of our needs. Folks, we have an awesome God. And when you get your eyes off of God and your focus is no longer the goodness of God and the grace of God, then suddenly you want that which God has forbidden. And God says, no, over here. You need to focus on that which God has provided for you. You see, instead of focusing on how gracious and how good God had been to her, Eve was just focusing on the one thing that God had told her not to do. Where's your focus today? Where is it? Are you focusing on the goodness of God and the provision of God? Or are you focusing on the restrictions that God has placed in your life? If we're not careful, it's so easy for us to believe Satan's lie that God is really not a good God. And instead, we begin to think that he's given us this book with all of its restrictions just to make our lives miserable. You say, I don't like this book because it tells me that I can't do this and I shouldn't do this and there's a lot of I don't need to do this. If God tells you that you shouldn't do something, I can absolutely guarantee you it's because if you do those things, you'll lose joy. He's put those thou shalt nots. He's put those, hey, don't do this, don't do that, so that you can be a happy Christian. This book is not meant to make your life miserable. This book is meant to make you a happy Christian. Amen. That'll preach whether you like it or not. Amen. Where's your focus? God's been so good to you. He has defined for you where all the landmines are in life. He's telling you how to go and where to go. He doesn't say, hey, good luck, buddy. There's some things out there you shouldn't do, but I'm not going to let you know what they are. You're just going to find out for yourself. You're going to mess up your life. No, he says, let me tell you where all the pitfalls are. Let me tell you where the landmines are so you can avoid them in life. I'm giving you my word so that you will understand how to live your life. I'm not giving this to you to make your life miserable. I'm giving it to you so that you can enjoy life the way it was meant to be. Let me read some verses to you about God's goodness. Psalm 119, the psalmist says in verse 68, thou art good and doest good. Tell yourself right now, my God is a good God. He's a good God, and everything he does is for our good. If God does something, it's good. That's what the psalmist is saying. Thou art good and doest good. What did the prophet Nahum say? He said, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. The psalmist again, Psalm 107, verse 1 and 2. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Out of all the people that ought to be declaring the goodness of God, it ought to be those of us who have been redeemed. That's what he's saying. If you've been saved by God's amazing grace, you ought to be saying, God is good, God is good, God is good. Every day, God is good. God isn't good one day and bad the next day. God is good all the time, God is good. So here's the truth. Here's the truth. This whole series, in this 5 weeks, has been about what? Rise up and believe. Rise up and believe the truth, God's truth. Here's the truth. God is good, and the restrictions that he gives to us in his word are for our good. Now, your old flesh within you may not like it, but what does the Bible say? We have to walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Allow the Spirit of God to convict you and to convince you that God's way is the way to live life. We must remember that God is good and that the restrictions that he has given to us in his word are for our good. You've got to teach, if you're a mom and dad with young kids, you've got to teach your kids this principle. Because everything out there in the world says, you don't need this book. Everything out there in our culture today says, you just live your life however you please. If you feel like it, do it. Well, we already touched on that, right? Always living by our feelings, not a good thing. We need to remember that God has given us restrictions in his word, and it is for our good. We need to embrace that truth today. If you're a grandparent, you need to embrace that truth so that your grandkids can see you live it out. If you're a parent, you need to do that. You need to embrace the truth of God's word so that your kids can see that it's not just going with the flow of our culture and our society, but we have to be men and women of conviction. The foundation of our life must be the truth of God's word. Let's not focus this morning on what we don't have, but instead let's thank God for all that he has given to us. There's probably many of you that have something that I don't have. And then there may be a lot of you that I've got something that you don't have. You can always find somebody who has more or somebody who has less. Be satisfied with what God has given to you. Just because you don't have what your neighbor has doesn't mean that God hasn't been good to you. God's been good and God's provided for all of our needs. And let's recommit ourselves today to live our lives according to the truth of God's word. Let's realize that if God tells us not to do something, it's because he loves us and he only wants what's best for our lives. God, help us today not to believe the lies of Satan. Eve fell for the lies of Satan. And there are many Christians today that are doing the same thing. They're falling for the lies of Satan. I want to encourage you today to rise up and believe the truth of God's word.
You have been listening to Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Like Canton Baptist Temple on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Canton Baptist. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday to get a personal glimpse of what God is doing at our church. We'll meet you here again next week.